The word was out that maybe, just maybe, a British accent would fit. The hair, the skin tone, and the bridge work would have to be up to American network standards, but there had been a lot of British accents up there thanking their mothers for their Oscars, a lot of British accents singing on Broadway, some unusually big audiences tuning into British accents in wigs on Masterpiece Theatre. British accents were telling jokes on David Letterman and Jay Leno. Nobody understood the jokes, but they were really responding to the accents, so maybe it was time, just maybe, a British accent on USAM. Well, hell. That was why Tricia was here. This was why loving New York was a great career move. It wasn't, of course, the stated reason. Her TV company back in the UK would hardly have stumped up the airfare and hotel bill for her to go job hunting in Manhattan. Since she was chasing something like 10 times her present salary, they might have felt that she could have forked out her own expenses. But she'd found a story, found a pretext, kept very quiet about anything ulterior, and they'd stumped up for the trip. A business-class ticket, of course, but her face was known, and she'd smiled herself an upgrade. The right moves had got her a nice room at the Brentwood, and here she was, wondering what to do next. The word on the street was one thing, making contact was another. She had a couple of names, a couple of numbers, but all it took was being put on indeterminate hold a couple of times, and she was back at square one. She'd put out feelers, left messages, but so far none had been returned. The actual job she'd come to do, she had done in the morning. The imagined job she was after was only shimmering tantalizingly on the unreachable horizon. Shit. She caught a cab from the movie theater back to the Brentwood. The cab couldn't get close to the curb because a big stretch limo was hogging all of the available space, and she had to squeeze her way past it. She walked out of the fetid, goat-frying air and into the blessed cool of the lobby. The fine cotton of her blouse was sticking like grime to her skin. Her hair felt as if she'd bought it at a fairground on a stick. At the front desk, she asked if there were any messages, grimly expecting none. There was one. Oh, good. It had worked. She'd gone out to the movies specifically in order to make the phone ring. She couldn't bear sitting in a hotel room waiting. She wondered, should she open the message down here? Her clothes were itching, and she longed to take them all off and just lie on the bed. She turned the air conditioning way down to its bottom temperature setting, way up to its top fan setting. What she wanted more than anything else in the world at the moment was goose pimples. Then a hot shower, then a cool one, then lying on a towel on the bed again, drying in the air conditioning. Then reading the message. Maybe more goose pimples, maybe all sorts of things. Nope. What she wanted more than anything else in the world was a job in American television at 10 times her current salary. More than anything else in the world. In the world. What she wanted more than anything else at all was no longer a live issue. She sat on a chair in the lobby, under a Kentia palm, and opened the little cellophane-windowed envelope. "Please call," it said, "not happy," and gave a number. The name was Gail Andrews. Gail Andrews. Wasn't a name she was expecting. It caught her unawares. She recognised it, but couldn't immediately say why. Was she Andy Martin's secretary? Hilary Bass's assistant? Martin and Bass were the two major contact calls she had made, or tried to make, at NBS. And what did not happy mean? Not happy? She was completely bewildered. Was this Woody Allen trying to contact her under an assumed name? It was a 212 area code number, so it was someone in New York who was not happy. Well, that narrowed it down a bit, didn't it? She went back to the receptionist at the desk. "I have a problem with this message you just gave me," she said. "Someone I don't know is trying to call me and says she's not happy." The receptionist peered at the note with a frown. "Do you know this person?" he said. No, Tricia said. Said the receptionist. Sounds like she's not happy about something." "Yes," said Tricia. Looks like there's a name here," said the receptionist. "Gail Andrews. Do you know anybody of that name?" "No," said Tricia. "Any idea what she's unhappy about?" "No," said Tricia. "Have you called the number? There's a number here." "No," said Tricia. "You only just gave me the note. I'm just trying to get some more information before I ring back. Perhaps I could talk to the person who took the call." Said the receptionist, scrutinizing the note carefully. I don't think we have anybody called Gail Andrews here." "And no, I realize that," Tricia said. "I'm Gail Andrews."